Name. Our Father and our God, we just want to thank you for this privilege we have to gather here. We thank you, Lord, for what you would do here because we already prayed about it, and we're sure that you answered that prayer. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, God does greatest things when things like this happen. I'm telling you, when things like this happen, he moves in a way that's unusual. So we are going to talk about, last week we started to talk about some of the hindrances that we encounter in benefiting, or rather in experiencing the benefit of the word of grace, the gospel. Some of the hindrances that we encounter that prevent us from experiencing to the fullest, having the maximum experience from the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, from the gospel as the Holy Spirit gave it to us. And we said one of them is this sense of unworthiness. This sense of what? Unworthiness that is there. You want to pray, you have this sense of unworthiness, and then you are trying to make yourself worthy. You are working yourself out to try to bring yourself to where you believe God will accept you. And then, you know, if you are this bunch of religious people in some of these religious organizations, if you want to take Holy Communion that week, you walk, so that when you come for Holy Communion, you will be accepted. It's all part of not understanding the gospel, that the first thing the gospel preaches to us is that Christ is our righteousness. It's what? Christ is our righteousness. And I want you to listen to me. If you miss it here, you continue in this major hindrance, and it will rob you of your blessings. Because if you come to God with evil heart of unbelief, your prayer won't work. It won't work. If you pray in unbelief, it won't work. If you speak in unbelief, it won't work. If anything you do in unbelief is devoid of divine participation, is devoid of his power. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, what are you saying? Every time you say in Jesus' name, what are you really saying? Tell me. When you go to God and say in Jesus' name, what do you mean? What are you saying? What are you saying? It's your righteousness. You are saying to God, I can't come in my what? In my name, I don't have righteousness to come. I'm coming in his righteousness, so he is my righteousness. Every time you say in Jesus' name, you are confessing and declaring that you don't have what it takes to come before God. You are confessing and declaring that you are coming in his name. In his what? Name. You are coming because he is your righteousness. He is your right standing. So if you remove his name, can you go? Come on, can you go? Why? Nobody's qualified. So every single time you say in Jesus' name, I want you to remind yourself that actually what you are saying there is that I come in the righteousness that Christ gives me, that Christ is my qualification to come. And that's why the things of the gospel are the things you get. You don't merit them. We call it unmerited what? Favor. So even coming to God is unmerited, but we kind of merit it because Jesus guarantees us to go. So we go in his name and get it. That's why we are co-heirs with him. Now, as long as you remember that, then you don't want to share his glory with him, and wanting God to recognize you as also co-sharer of the glory. No, you come in his glory. He is the only hope of glory. Do we understand that? Come on, do we understand that? So, the devil will not come and make you feel unworthy, because, yes, I'm unworthy, but it's not my worthiness that gives me that thing. That's why I say in Jesus' name. That's why I pronounce his name. That's why I invoke his name. because he is my righteousness. And that righteousness is a gift. So nobody works for it. Eternal life is a gift. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of what? But the gift of God is what? Come on. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ. So eternal life is a gift. Righteousness is a gift, according to the scriptures. So we were trying to take away that thing that the enemy uses all the time to rob us of our blessing. This is hampering a lot of Christians from being bold. When they speak to devil, they are not too sure whether I will listen. Again, when you go, you are talking to the devil in the name of Jesus. You are saying, yes, I may not be able to deal with you, but I'm invoking this name that has been given to me upon which God has vested all his authority. Praise the Lord. So, but today we are going to look at, and I want you to follow me, please. If you understand this thing I'm teaching, we go to Sunday. Sunday, by the grace of God, will be very awesome. As this thing I'm teaching, we take us to Sunday. And you see how the devil uses it. And uses it devastatingly against Christians. So this is kind of foundation for Sunday that we're laying. So we want to go and look at the gospel really we're talking about. And see what the gospel declares and what it is for you and what it means for me. And so we go to Luke chapter 4 verse 18, where our Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Did we see that? Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Do you want me to move this flag? Is it blocking anybody? Huh? I can move it because Naira has gone down. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. Because he has anointed me to... Did you know that the anointing makes you preach the gospel? We only associate anointing with falling down. But the first thing Jesus was anointed to do was what? Preach the gospel. The first thing he declared that I'm anointed to preach the gospel. Because you see, preaching the gospel is very important. Because you shall know the truth then. The truth will what? So, you need the anointing. You need to pray under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I was sharing with us yesterday about the need for us to stop being selfish in prayer and get into what God assigned the church to do. To start praying for the things of Christ. Paul was asking the church to pray for him so he would preach boldly. And with utterance, I say, isn't your heart broken that we're talking about people coming to church and playing games in the church? Can you go home laughing? These are lives that are being destroyed. I say, how can you be comfortable? You cannot be comfortable. That will drive you to your knees and make you pray. If you really love Jesus, that love of God will make you pray. I'm telling you. And so if you really love Jesus, when you pray for people who preach this gospel, people who teach the Sunday school, that the word in their mouth will come with boldness and power to touch lives. I say, people are doing what they do because they're ignorant. And somebody has to pray. Can I hear amen? The first thing Jesus was anointed to do, it was not to push people down. I'm telling you now, read it for yourself. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because he has anointed me, number one. In fact, you see all of them is about preaching. The anointing that came upon him primarily is about preaching. Because his major ministry is about teaching. Let us understand that the life we live is really the key thing. Not the miracles are important, but the miracles without the life, it's missing the major ingredient about it all. So that's why most of the things Jesus was doing was to teach. To teach. So people can make choices that line up with the will of God. Was to teach. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to, number one. Oh, come on now. Number one. to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, let's take that line. What is preaching? Declaring. Preaching is different from teaching. Preaching is declaring. Teaching is precept upon precept. You preach the gospel, you teach the word. So he said, I've been sent to proclaim to the poor good news. Now, what would be good news to a poor man? Somebody said to be rich. What would be good news to a poor man? That what he doesn't have is now being given to him. Now, brethren, I want you to look up here. You see that first statement that Jesus made? It's about forgiveness. It's about forgiveness. Because he said, I've been sent to proclaim good news to all of you poor people. You don't have what it takes to pay what you owe God. I've come to pay it. You are so poor, you can't pay what you owe. You can't pay for your redemption. Something is holding you. You can't pay a ransom. You are poor. You can't pay a ransom for your soul. None of you can pay any ransom for your soul. So you are poor. Good news is I've come to pay it for you. I've come to ransom you. I come to make the payment. He says, I want to declare the good news to the poor who have nothing to pay to ransom themselves. The psalmist wrote, he said, none of you can pay a ransom for your soul. So when he says, I want to proclaim good news to the poor, he's telling me and telling you that you don't have anything it takes to ransom your soul. Neither do you have anything it takes to pay for the wrath of God on your head. So he's talking about, I came to pay the price so that you'll be forgiven. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, if you understand this statement, you will really begin to understand that there is nothing that can bring forgiveness to you except that price Jesus paid. The Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So Jesus is saying, you don't have anything to bring remission of your sin to yourself. You are poor. Absolutely nothing. So good news is, I've come to provide the payment, to provide my blood, to provide my life. Isn't that good news? Only three people said excellent. Isn't that good news? It's good news. Now, let's read some scriptures. In Luke chapter 7:40, where Jesus was illustrating this thing and showing how we don't even appreciate this thing that the gospel is calling good news, for which angels were singing and rejoicing. So he says in Luke 7:40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. 41. There was a certain creditor. So you see, Jesus is presenting us as people who are owing. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. 42. And when they had nothing to pay, he's talking about us. We have nothing to pay. He brought the good news to those who are poor, couldn't pay nothing. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. You see, he's illustrating what happened to us. We have nothing to pay. We were forgiven free of charge. Somebody paid for it. He said, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Answer me. The one that owes more? Or the one that he owes less? Huh? You know, the lesson Jesus is bringing here is that we have no idea how much we owe. So we think we are too much. We think, like I'm teaching it now, there's no excitement about it. That's exactly what he said. There's no excitement. He said, after I'm not bad, I'm not too bad. If Jesus died for me, it's just to compliment me. So why should I bother loving him a lot? After all, what did he do? We don't say it, But we don't get excited because we don't know the value of the forgiveness. That's what he's saying. He said, because we think we are forgiving little. Because we think I'm good. That's why we think we are forgiving how much? Little. He said, but when we come to understand that we are owing a lot, then we love God more. What did the scripture say? It said we love him because he first what? But if you don't understand that you are owing something you couldn't pay, you are owing a lot, and you are still owing a lot, then you fall in love with Jesus. It will humble you like nothing else. You know, our pride comes from thinking that we have achieved some, you know, I mean, come on. That's what you're talking about. I'm not bad. I'm not so bad. God will have mercy on us. Are you following what I'm saying? So we sit up and compare it with what? Others who are, we think are not as good. And the Bible says all such comparison is lack of wisdom. So we can't pay. Still can't pay. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and what? Brethren, that through this man, through who? Is preached unto you what? Because he came to pay for our sins, so that our sins are forgiven. You say you can't pay for it. You cannot fast from now till you die and be paid for your sin. Nothing a man does can pay for his sin. Absolutely nothing. You can confess it from now till Monday. If there's no shedding of that blood, your sins will remain like that. I will discuss. Somebody called me and asked me a question. Very interesting question. He said, he was asking me about Abraham and the old saints and whether they were saved. Whether they were what? Saved. See, because Abraham was in paradise. I said, well, I have only one scripture that answers that. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11. And that scripture says that all these things suffered. They were sons and all the things they suffered could not make them perfect. He said they could not be made perfect without us. Somebody shout hallelujah. That they could not be made perfect. He said all these things they did not see that promise of the cross fulfilled. And they couldn't be made perfect without what? Come on, without what? Us. As the Bible, you have one. That's what the Bible wrote. They could not be made perfect what? Without us. What he's saying is that all that thing couldn't bring perfection until Christ came. He said they saw the promise afar off. They had faith, but they didn't see it. They didn't get it. But see what they went through. He said all that thing couldn't make them perfect. That's why the Bible says that the law maketh nothing what? Perfect. But the bringing in of a better covenant. So Jesus said, you have nothing to what? Pay for your sins. Absolutely not. I am the Lamb of God who taketh away what? Sins of the whole. I am the one. Praise the Lord. I was going to say to him, I said, maybe you see Pastor Victor. I don't know about the eschatology. I don't understand it too well. I said, Pastor Victor understands it. No, I don't teach it. I'll tell you the truth of the matter. I just sit down and learn. The one I don't know, I'll tell you. Praise the Lord. If you laugh at me, do you know it? I was going to say, I think Pastor even taught part of it during the psychology teaching, the old saints and things like that. But so what I'm trying to bring out is the first thing that Jesus preached, declared, is that you are poor. You can't redeem yourself. You can't. I came to pay for it. I'm the only one, the Lamb of God, who taketh the what? Sins of the world. My question is, where is my pride then? Where is your pride then? The Bible says, if any man should boast, let him boast what? In the Lord. He's the one. Can somebody shout a big hallelujah for me? So, it's pain. You know, the word redemption, I went to the dictionary. And part of the meaning of redemption is action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment. So when you say we are redeemed, the Bible says we are redeemed, not with corruptible things. He paid the payment to exchange us, to bring us. He died in our place so that we are redeemed from what held us bound. Brethren, isn't that good news? So what is the excitement on your faces? Did you drink lemon juice? Can somebody give me a big hallelujah here? Hallelujah. That's why you go before God boldly. Because he paid for it. And the devil said, you pay. You say, no. I can't even pay. I'm poor. But I know the one who paid for me. And in case you don't understand, Satan, it is prepaid. So I have access by the blood. Can somebody shout hallelujah again? So let's read the next thing Jesus said. Well, before we go there, you know there's Matthew 3, where our Lord talked about blessed are the poor in what? Spirit. This is different from what he's talking about. This one, he's talking about poor in spirit. It's people who have realized that without God they can do, they have nothing they can achieve in life without God. See, they're the ones that really get the blessings of God. But those who are not poor in spirit, like the Pharisees, they can't get anything. So I like the way Message put it. He said, people who have come to the end of their rope. They have come to the end of what? They've come to their, and believe you me, I'll tell you, some of the things I passed in life, and God didn't put it on me. But one lesson I learned was that I came to the end of my struggles and everything, where I've done everything I know, and nothing worked. Finally, I said to God, I give up. And that was when things began to happen. I realized that trusting in God is trusting God with all your heart. Depend on him from beginning to the end. All this idea of trying to help God is a waste of time. Are there things you are supposed to do? Of course. But you do them because God instructed you to what? Do them. You don't do them because you talked it up so you can help God. No, you do them because that's divine guidance in his plan as he's executing his plans and actions for you. He's giving you instructions what now to do. But not that you woke up and then in your imagination of your mind you begin to imagine, I think I should do this and do that. Those things are the things that spoil things. So let's talk about the second thing that he talked about in that Luke chapter 4 verse 18. He says, after preaching the gospel to the poor, he had sent me to what? He has sent me to heal the broken hearted, to preach. Church, to preach what? Are you afraid? To preach what? No, you, this one is ahead of us. Go back to verse 18. We haven't come to 19 yet. The Spirit of the Lord God put up the whole 18 there. I want the whole 18 up there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the what? The brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, let's talk about to heal the brokenhearted. Do you know the things that can break a man's heart more than sickness and death? Do you know curses can break your heart? All these things that break our heart, say that come to set you free from them, so that you live in fullness of joy. He said, all these things are done so that your joy shall be what? Full. Not so that you have brokenheartedness. He came to deliver us from all these circumstances that bring us brokenheartedness. Do you know, did you recognize that some of the time there was this blind people that came? And there was somebody that was deaf and dumb. And the Lord Jesus put his hand, I think his spit on the eye or something. No, he spit on his hand. First of all, touched the eye. Put his hand in his ear and sighed. Oh, he sighed that this is the handwork of God that has been ruined like this. It's like seeing a beautiful thing you made ruined. He looked up to heaven, he sighed. This man was made in the image of God. It's not supposed to be like this. He really sighed. He pained him. Then he said, Ephatha, which is what? Open. He sighed. Because this is creation of God, that sin and the devil are corrupted, and see what left them like. When he went to the tomb of Lazarus, he wept, seeing people in pain, crying, because that wasn't divine plan. He really wept. It's like you see a car that is wrecked. And you know, this is what God made. This is not what God wanted these people to have. He really cried. So all these things that break our heart, that bring us into heartache and things like that, he came to heal us from them. So that our joy shall be what? Full. And then don't forget that he's the God of all comfort. So he brings us comfort in our tribulations. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I have overcome the world for you. So that in the midst of trials and things, he brings us assurance that will heal our heart. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. He brings us assurance. He brings us that. He's the only one who can give you that kind of comfort nobody can give you in any situation you find yourself. I remember one of our sisters once. She was the breadwinner, the only breadwinner, and she was fired. I came to heal your brokenhearted. She was fired. And then, you know, she was one of our members. I was their pastor, so I went there. When I got in there, people have sat around to mourn. And they were sighing. All the unbelieving believers were having fellowship. And there are many of them. So when I walked in there, it was like walking into a thick cloud of unbelief. You could touch unbelief. It was so thick. There was no joy on anybody's face. And the sister had come to one corner. Crossed his half feet. So when I came, he said, oh, pastor. I said, shut up. I said stop. Don't infect me with that thing. So don't infect me with that spirit. I said, joy every day. In Jesus, there is joy. I said, is Jesus dead? Who are you people mourning? Who died? You have no job. Yeah, praise the Lord. You get another one. What's your problem? I'm telling you, I said to them, everybody, rise up here. Let's thank God. Give God praise. Give God glory. We began to worship God and she began to dance. Then after dancing, she said, okay, what do I do next? I'm telling you, only the Spirit of God can bring joy in the midst of that kind of situation. He said, well, I said, you serve Jesus. I said, you get up in the morning, go give tracts. You can give tracts. Serve Jesus. Engage your... I said, now you serve him now. I'm braiding a line up. She started to do that. In the morning, she would take tracts and enter bus and be giving. And it wasn't long. One of those bus tracts took her to near flour mills in Apapa. And then she was at the bus stop giving tracts. And the Lord said, look back. She looked back and the Lord said, get into that company. They'll give you a job. Real story. She walked in there and asked them if they were hiring. And they asked her what her qualification was. She told them she was the secretary of a bank. And they said, hold on, let's even talk to our boss. He came in. So they went and talked to her boss. And the boss said, let me interview her. Brethren, within 24 hours, she had a job, had her own office, had her own secretary. I can tell you her name, but I won't tell you. You can see me after. I'm telling you. You know who I'm talking about. She's been here. Yeah, they visited here. Within 24 hours, she had a job, had her own secretary. Listen to this. And will close by 4. In the bank, she will close by 10, 9, 8 in the night. This is 4. Flour mills, they will close by 4, she will go home. Right? So in one swoop, God opened the door, gave her time to, because we miss Bible study, she'll be crying. Now she'll be at the Bible study, now she'll be everything. On weekends, no work, no managing director calling her because she's secretary. None of that. That's what Jesus said. I came to provide you. I came to heal your broken what? Heartedness. Because I came to resolve issues for you. I opened a door where there is no way. I'll make a way for you. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Just trust me. Believe in me. That's why I came. So, what will take away your joy? Answer me. Huh? Because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll follow you around. The word forsake is, even if you do things that others will forsake you, I'll be with you. I read last Thursday now about that pastor now that they told that because of what he did, he's going to hell. He said, okay, let me now enjoy sin. And the Spirit of God was talking to him every day for 12 years. Because the scripture says, the gift and calling of God is without what? Repent. I said, I'll follow you. I love you too much. I'm following you. And see the mystery of grace. When God brought him back, God made him the general overseer of that organization. You read it now? And he was ministering. The church exploded. The place exploded. I want to ask you, have you seen anybody God was using in the Bible that merited it? David. Point to one. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Moses was the most unqualified person to lead Israel. He couldn't talk. He will start tell them that I said. And God said, yeah, I'm qualified. The man said to God, I can't talk. He said, yeah, this man will be interpreting for you. You are the one. Because you see, if you think you are qualified, your head will swell. Paul said, my infirmities. He said, in spite of my infirmities, you people still accept me as a servant of God. So he had issues. He said, in spite of it, you people still accept me. And I went to God, I said, remove this. And God said, my grace is enough. That thing is going nowhere. It's going nowhere. And Paul said, I now rejoice in my infirmities, knowing that when I'm weak, he's what? He's strong for me. He's there for me. Brethren, when you are down, he's there for you. I'm telling the truth. When you are down, when people leave you, dance. Hey, when people leave you, come and tell Pastor Victor, I want to do Thanksgiving. He will arrange it for you. You will start from there and be singing, Abiakwala mi kelege. Say, bro, what happened to you? They left me. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. And you're dancing roundabout. Pastor Victor will say, do roundabout. So you do roundabout and do left turn and do right turn. If you fall down, they will raise you up. Then you dance Abiakwala mi here. Why? They left me. Yeah, let them leave you. Go read. What did you lose? I don't know what you people don't understand God. Sometimes God will snap somebody out of your life. And you are crying. Instead of coming to give thanks. And rejoicing. Tell your son, the school teacher. I have testimony. Say, yeah, my best friend left me. Let's give the Lord glory. Yeah, thank God. Praise the Lord. I came to heal your broken what? Heartedness. So you don't live your life with that. You don't live your life with that. I give you the kind of comfort nobody can give you. And people look at you and say, you're smiling. Yeah, I have comfort. You don't know where it's coming from. The Spirit of the Lord is my comforter. Jesus is my comforter. That's what he came to do. So when you receive bad news, you can sing. You can sing. You can sing. You can sing. You can sing because there's a better tomorrow. That's not the end of your life. It's just comma. Broken hearted. What's the next one? To preach what? Deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised. Them that are bruised, those that are oppressed. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing those who are oppressed of the devil. Sickness is part of demonic oppression. It's part of it. It's not possession. That possession is different from what? Oppression. So now, he said, I came to preach deliverance. Freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. Say it louder, please. Freedom. Say it louder. Freedom. I want to hear it more. Freedom. He said, I came to declare you free. Came to set you free. Came to set you what? Free. If the Son shall set you free, church, you are free what? Has he set you free? You are free indeed. I was talking with one brother. I won't tell them what happened. My office was telling me a lot of things. You know, they're using language I don't understand. Using English. These people are so grammatic. But however, we have voices and things that will want him to, you know, do some things that are not interesting. And it's been really bad. Then after, I was just sitting there and I said, Lord, what did I tell him? When he finished, the Lord said to him that I set him free longest time. And I said, you know, he set you free, really. I mean, how can you tell somebody who has been passing through all that kind of thing that he's free? I said, he set you free. Your problem is you're not accepting it. If you accept it here and now, you'll be free. You don't need prayer. You are looking at it. I said, I'm telling you the truth. Because if the Bible says something, that thing is absolutely true. I said, Jesus said that I came to set the captives what? Free. Did he succeed? Sure. Did he accomplish it? Sure. You are free then. So your problem is you are not accepting it. If you accept it here and now, that freedom will work in your life. Is that true? Did it work? You know the person. It worked, right? No prayer, nothing. And it's a huge story that can frighten some of you. Do you think that Jesus will come and deceive us and say, I set you free when he did it? Acts chapter 26, 18. See Paul declaring the same thing that Jesus preached. He said to open their eyes. You see, Jesus talked about opening eyes. Paul said, God has sent me. Go to 17, please. 17. Okay, 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and Stoics. That's not what I'm talking. Where did we get them? Acts 26, not 17. Acts chapter 26. Oh, let me read from here. Acts 26, verse 18. Okay, let's read from verse 17. Acts 26, 17. Let's go. Delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I what? Send thee. What was this mission? Verse 18. The same thing Jesus declared is what Paul was saying. That God told him, this is what your mission is. The same thing Jesus preached. He says, to open their what? What did Jesus say? Opening of eyes. We still come there. And to turn them from what? Darkness to light. That's part of opening their eyes. We'll come there. And from the power of Satan unto God. Deliverance. That they may receive what? Forgiveness of sin. So what we talked about. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is what? Exactly what Jesus preached. That's what the commission of Paul. Go preach this thing Jesus preached. He said, that's what I was sent to do. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Now, if we read Luke chapter 1, 68, you need to promise me you are not going to get up and dance. I need to calm you down so your emotions won't be too, because you get too excited that you might start dancing right there. Luke chapter 1 verse what? 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had what is Emmanuel? Visited. God visited us. Visited and you know part of the meaning of redeemed is to set free. Redeemed his people. Is this something already accomplished? Yeah? Why doesn't the church preach what Jesus preached? What Paul said, I was sent to go and tell people, you are free. We are looking for ministry. So they will say, why don't tell people what God said? Verse 69. And had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Who is he talking about? Okay, verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which had been since the world began, verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of how many people? All that hate us. Verse 72. To perform the mercy. See, the grace of God. It's an act of grace. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. 73. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. 74. That he will grant unto us that we being what? Delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him now with fear. No. I think your Bible is wrong. Serve him with what? Fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days. So, do you think that God is giving us false hope and false assurance to tell me I shouldn't fear when there is reason for me to fear? Do you think that God is deceiving me and telling me you can go to bed and sleep now? I've taken care of your enemies. How can God tell me to go and sleep when there is danger? If God gives me this assurance, it means no weapon formed against me shall what? So I can sleep. He's delivered me from their power. set me free. Remember what Isaiah asked. Who has believed what? Now talk of the old nature of sin. The devil is over. I'm talking about the old nature of sin that God also came and set us free from. The power of sin over us. And look at Galatians 6:14. For my part, Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is what? Crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. As many as walk by this doctrine, by this principle, it's a peace be on them. Because there are people who will not accept it. They want to glory in themselves. Remember, blessed are the poor in heart, in spirit. Those who are poor in spirit are those who accept what God has done and depend on what God has done. Those who are not poor in spirit say, well, I have the means to do it. I can get by. Paul said, my only boast is in the cross. It's what he did there that separated me from the world. How did he separate him? He gave me a new nature, different from what I had before. My old nature was sinful, craving for the world. My new nature is righteous, craving for God. Who has believed? Let me read message. Galatians 6:14. For my part, I'm going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master Jesus Christ. Because of that cross. Everybody say, because of that cross. Because of that cross, I have been what? Crucified in relation to the... What does it mean to be crucified? I don't respond to it. Because of the cross. Because of work on the cross. Because of that cross, I've been crucified in relation to the world. Set free from the stifling atmosphere of pleasing others in the world and fitting into the little patterns they dictate for me. I mean, set free from being controlled by the world and all these patterns they dictate. He said, because of the cross, my new nature does not tilt to the world. It's not interested in the world. Is anybody following? Huh? Okay, let me finish message. Verse 15. Galatians 6:15. Can't you see the central issue in all of this? It is not what you and I do, submit to circumcision, reject circumcision. It is what God is what? Doing. And he's creating something totally new, a free life. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. And then he dealt with all our enemies and changed our nature so that the world doesn't have any hold on us. Or you say, Pastor, but you know, a lot of Christians are controlled by the world, of course. And a lot of Christians are living by the worldly standard, of course. You know why? I'll show you why now. Ephesians 4:18. Ephesians 4 what? Uh, I'm reading the King James Version. Having the understanding, what? Come on, what? Come on, what? Darkened. Being now alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is what? Is in them. Because of the blindness of their eyes. That's why Christians behave like the heathens. They are alienated from the life of God they have. Because of darkness in the heart. Because of ignorance in the heart. Because these truths, they don't know it. And then when they read it, they don't even think it's important to give it attention. So they want to get by trying to be good. They can get by, forget about distance. I can get by. The Bible says, having the understanding darkened. Their understanding is darkened. Remember what I was saying on Sunday. If you don't have understanding, the seed will not produce anything. Having their understanding darkened. Being now alienated from the life of God through the what? Ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. That's why Christians behave the way the world behaves. It's not because the truth is not there. Is that because their heart is darkened to the truth? They don't understand it at all. Praise the Lord. Again, you will turn out to be like what you look at. What did I say? You will turn out to be like what you look at. You remember Jacob and Laban, right? Huh? Didn't you understand that that principle was teaching us how to live our lives? When Jacob said to Laban, you know, after Laban deceived him and gave him Leah, that has the eyes, kinky eye, and the man said, I'm in love. I'll serve you another 7 years for Rachel. You know, when you are in love, you do anything. If you have been in love, say amen. If you are not married, I need to see you after service. When you are in love, you do anything. Love will make you do anything. See all this idea. When you start hesitating, you are not in love. They say love is what? Blind. Love will make you do. Love will make you jump wall. Before you realize you are falling. So, the Bible says love is as powerful as death. So the man served 7 years without feeling it. The Bible says he didn't feel it. Now the man said, okay, I've served you now, sir, and you are rich now. Can I not take my wife and my children and go? The man said, okay, maybe you need salary. Okay, let me pay you. How much do you want me to what? Pay you. He said, it's not even an issue of salary. But he said, okay, fine. Let me serve you now. Let's make a deal. And the deal was so interesting to Laban, he bought it. He said, you know what you need to do? He said, you take away the sheep that is what? Black, speckled, and take them a distance from me. So now I have the sheep that is not sprinkled and spotted. So now you come after the mating season and they have all these things. You come and if you see anyone that is black and spotted, I've stolen it. You take it. Did I get the story backwards? I got it backwards. Eh? So now now let's see if I got it right now. You people tell me. I think it's a common story everybody should know. Now during the mating season, he will bring the herdy animals and then bring a tree and the back of it and paint it a color. Right? So I got the story backwards. Is that right? Spotted. Which one is first? Is it spotted? Because they reversed it again. Ah, we are confused. Okay, let's read it. Genesis 30. There's a principle there I want to show you. Genesis 30:31. I will read it quickly. My time is up almost. But are you getting what I'm teaching? I'm showing you why Christians behave the way they do. Number one is ignorance. They don't know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, it won't work. We'll set you free, nothing. All that deliverance on the wound seat. You'll be going around the circle. You must know the truth for it to work for you. You must. Then look at Genesis 30:31. What wages do you want? Laban asked again. Jacob replied, I'm reading New Living Translation. Don't give me anything. Just do this one thing, and I'll continue to tend and watch over your flocks. Let me inspect your flock today and remove all the sheep and goats that are speckled and spotted, along with all the black sheep. Give this to me as my... So I reversed it. Okay? So now he gave him... He said, give me the ones that are black and spotted and take the ones that are white. Right? And go 3 miles away so we don't mix. So after the mating season, when you come, if you see those white ones in my... This, then I've stolen... Is that right? Okay. So let's continue. 33. In the future, when you check on the animals you have given me as my wages, you will see that I have been honest. If you find in my flock any goats without spots, then you can take them. You will know that I have stolen them from you. All right, Laban replied, it will be as you say. But that very day, Laban went out and removed the male goats that were streaked and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, or had white patches, all the black sheep, he placed them in the care of his own sons, who took them a 3 days journey from where Jacob was. Meanwhile, Jacob stayed and cared for the rest of Laban's flock. 37. Then Jacob took some fresh branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees, peeled off strips of bark, making white streaks on them. Then he placed these peeled branches in the watering trough where the flocks come to drink, for that is where they mated. And when they mated in front of the white streaked branches, they gave birth to young that were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Did you see that? Church, come on. Why is it that when Laban did that, why didn't Jacob fight? When Laban came and took away all those black sheep and spotted ones, why didn't Jacob fight him? I believe that God revealed this to him. So don't worry about that. That's why you don't have to be fighting everything. I don't know. I would be Christians. You don't have to be fighting everything now. People are fighting, just keep quiet. And if you keep quiet and trust God, if you really keep quiet and you know you are poor in heart, you can't handle this thing, and you trust God to show you how to what, God will give you wisdom that will maneuver love. So now, the sheep, when they've never seen anything like this, they were looking at the maroon. And when they give birth, it will be... Don't you understand that God is teaching us how we're going to live our life in the New Testament? When you look unto Jesus, then the Spirit of God will transform you into his what? Image. That's what God is showing us. That's what God is demonstrating there. That this is how the sheep of God will produce. I'm going to put somebody on the tree. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to put a tree up, and I'm going to put him there. And then when you look to him, when you see him, when you see your deliverer, when you see the mediator between you and God, when you see your strength, when you see your new life, when you see your healer, when you see the one that redeemed you and set you free, when you see those things, the Spirit of God will begin to transform your life into that experience in reality. So you give birth to those things. You start to produce what? Those things. By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God was teaching. That this is the way you are going to live your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Did you know that those sheep and things didn't produce by any effort? All they did was to look. But the Creator was producing it. But they were looking. So what do? We look. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Remember, Jesus said, he said, I came so that you will recover your sight. So when you come to Jesus, the Spirit of God takes away the veil out of your eyes, so you can know those things that are freely given to you. So when you come to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. But we all, with unveiled face now, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? You see the new man he made you. The glory of his power. You see the arm of the Lord. How he created you new. When you begin to see these things that you don't see with spiritual natural eye, you see it with your spiritual eye. You see the new nature. You see what he made you to be. You see your deliverance. You see that you're free. You see, no, you're not under the curse. You're under the blessing. When you see his glory, what his power has done, then the Spirit of the Lord, then the Spirit, the glory of the Lord, then what happens? Then you are now being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. But if you don't see it, and you are seeing yourself, looking at your effort and everything, so what happened to the cross? Well, Paul said, I can't boast of anything else. It's at that cross that I was separated from the world. And Paul said, I don't want you to see me anywhere except in I want to be seen in him, because it's there I see the glory of God at work. I see my new nature. He said, I used to see myself with the natural man. He said, I don't do that anymore. He said, I'm seeing the glory of the Lord. I'm focusing. He said, I can't set aside the grace of God. I'm focusing on it. I am looking and seeing what he has done, what the glory of God. I see the strength of my life. And he said, I cannot do what? All things. He said, whoa, Jesus is my strength. I can do all things. I can do all things. Yeah, through the strength he gives me. And I'm a new creature. His old things have what? Passed away. And he keeps saying that, the Lord my healer. He healed me. Set me free. And say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. That's freedom. That's freedom. When you see those things, and keep seeing those things, if you continue in my word, if you what? Continue. Church, children of God, if you what? Continue seeing it, then you will know it. But not before then. And what will happen? That truth will begin to what? Walk and set you free. Set you free. Deliverance will be real. Deliverance will be real. Healing will be real. Man, you see it walking. You see it walking. You see it walking from glory to glory. And people who didn't know you will be wondering, whoa, this is a new creature, truly. Praise the Lord. Who gets all the glory at that point? Jesus. You can't tell them how good you are, because you know he's the one that made you what you are by his grace. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? That's why Christians behave like the heathens. Because they neglect the gospel. They neglect the truth that Jesus is preaching, announcing, and saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to pronounce you free, to bring you good news. You don't have anything to pay. Forgiveness is preached. You can come boldly. You are not what you used to be. I set you free. I changed your nature. I came to destroy all the works of the enemy in your life. I am the one that came to take away all your sins. And all this declaration, why is it falling mostly on closed ears? And how will it bear fruit? Praise the Lord. My mentor said something. He said he had a visitor. In fact, he took a pastor along who had diabetes. And he told the man that as long as you are with me, diabetes doesn't function around me. Say, eat anything you want. And he said, check your sugar. You won't have sugar. He said, no, don't take anything. Just hang around. Brother, listen to this truth. And then the man came along and they stayed 3 weeks. How many days? 3 weeks. No sugar, diabetes. The man started eating what he hasn't eaten in 30 years. Say, man, this burger tastes good. No diabetes. I'm telling you a real story. 3 solid weeks. And when he left the man, no diabetes, another 10 days. After 10 days, the diabetes came back. And he asked him, he said, what happened? He said, there is divine authority God gave to every Christian. You don't know about it. If you know about it, you can stop that diabetes. He said, the Bible says, you shall say, and if you believe that what you say shall come to pass, it shall be what? So I just simply told you won't have diabetes. That's all I said. And because God says so, I believe you won't have it and you don't have it. Say, what for you? Because well, you didn't know anything. Do you know, after several years, that man caught that same revelation and diabetes stopped. Stopped dead on his track. Brethren, the work of the cross is true. It's absolutely true. The power God unleashed on the cross is amazing. It's beyond human understanding. But we have to embrace what God has accomplished for us so that the Spirit of God will work it out in our lives and we become really new creatures. That's when we are testimonies to the living Christ. Praise the Lord. Did you get what I'm saying? Can we bow our heads and think? I want you to think. As you continue to behold, you become poor in the spirit and stop trying to get by without distance. You can't. Our boast is only on the cross of Jesus Christ. There is no other hope you have, and there is no other hope I have except Christ Jesus. If we neglect him, we produce death. If you neglect him, produce death. He's the only one that came to give us life. The Lord is the strength of your life. Don't ever accept that you are limited when Jesus is your strength. Don't ever accept that sin will overcome you and you are servant to sin. No. 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 He has taken that and caused sin and cut it off your life. So that you start going from glory. You may not be perfect overnight, but you are going from glory to glory. Keep beholding the thing. Keep saying so. Keep believing so. Keep believing. Keep continuing in the word. Continue in the word. Then all of a sudden, you will come to a revelation point and you are like, whoa, this is true. It's a journey. You must continue. You must continue. You must continue. You don't stop because you failed. You don't. You keep continuing. Paul prayed that God will open our eyes to know the power that worketh in us. To understand the intensity and the greatness of that power that works in every Christian. The power that Jesus supplies. It's a limitless power. Doesn't know any limitations at all. So all things become possible to those that believe and trust in that power. All things. All things. Don't believe that you're a slave. Don't accept that report. It's contrary to the gospel. Don't accept any report that tells you you're a slave, you're bound. It's contrary to the gospel. For the Son has set you free. You must insist that you are free. Unless you are saying that Jesus deceived you, that after deceiving you, he didn't set you free.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.